Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki.
This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, entitled Divinity and Divine Service, text number 6.
Sa.
Vai
pungsam
paro
dharma
savai pungsam paro dharma yato
bhaktir
adhokshaje yato
bhaktir
adhokshaje
ahoituki
apratiyata ahoituki apratiyata
Yayatma Suprasidati
Yayatma Suprasidati Savai Pungsam Paro Dharma
Savai Pungsam Paro Dharma
Yatho Bhaktir Adhokshaje Ahoitukiya Pratiyata
Ahoitukiya Pratihata
Yayatma Suprasidati Savai Pungsam Paro Dharma
Yatho Bhaktir Adhokshaje
Ahoitukiya Pratiyata Yayatma Suprasidati Anyone want to try? Saha. Vai, certainly. Pungsam.
For mankind.
Paraha, sublime.
Dharma,
occupation.
Yataha,
by which?
Bhaktihi,
devotional service.
Adhokshaje,
unto the transcendence.
Ahoituki,
causeless.
Apratiyata,
unbroken.
Yaya,
by which?
Atma,
the self.
Suprasidati,
completely satisfied. The supreme occupation or dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Responsively, the supreme occupation or dharma
for all humanity
is that by which men can attain
to loving devotional service
unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted
to completely satisfy the self.
So this is one of the more important and most famous of all the verses. So I took the trouble to introduce Bhakta James, because he is Bhakta, but he has memorized this verse, whereas none of us have memorized it. So Let us take that as an inspiration. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people, or the people in general, might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called Pravritti Marga, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called Nirvritti Marga, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma-bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just the futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. The path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, i.e., without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, furtive action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in His service. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir dhoksajye ahoitokiya pratyataya yatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation or dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So this is similar to the last verse, in that the last verse talked about questions in relationship to the Supreme Being, Yenatma Supersedati. And here we have the same thing, Yayatma Supersedati, completely satisfying to the self. So the first thing is we have to discriminate between the body and the soul. Devotional service may bring facility for sense gratification, but, or for satisfying the senses of the body. In other words, some people may take up devotional service just to fill their belly, but this is not advised at all in Shastra. Dharmasya hi apavargasya narto ratayopakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasya kamalabhaya hi smritaha. Devotional service should never be used as simply a means to fill the belly. Devotional service can lead you to the highest perfection of life. So the real purpose is Atma as one's spiritual identity. Atma can also mean the body, also mean the mind, and Atma means the soul. So the only solution to the entanglement or the suffering which we find ourselves in, the only solution, people do make a lot of plans to somehow or other avoid the distress of material existence while pursuing a life of sense gratification. But we have experience, and this is confirmed in the scripture, in the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, mogha-sha mogha-karmano mogha-jnana-vichetasa rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim mohiniyam shritaha, that all of their asha, all of their hopes, all of their attempts to attain knowledge, all of their fruitive activities, they'll all be frustrated. It's only a question of time. The material world means duality. So there is sukh, or material pleasure, and the opposite side of that is dukkha. So if you're experiencing happiness at the present moment, in the future you will be experiencing distress. Ultimately, the material world is described as overall dukkhalayam ashasvatam. Ashasvat, it is a temporary place, and it is full of so many miseries. Temporary cessation of the miseries we call happiness. But this is simply an illusion, part of the illusion of the material world. There's actually no happiness here at all. So this dharma is meant for awakening our dormant relationship with Krishna. We have an eternal form, and Krishna has an eternal form. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. He is the one supreme amongst nityanam. He's nityo. He's the one supreme, eternal. Nitya means eternal, and nityanam means the plural. All of the other eternal living beings, the jiva souls, the svangsan vibhinamsa expansions. So Krishna is the maintainer, he is the creator, and he is ultimately the final resting place. Narayan means that, we discussed this yesterday, that he's the goal of all our activities. We're looking for satisfaction, but we don't know how to find satisfaction, and we don't know what satisfaction is. We don't even know what constitutes satisfaction. Unfortunately, people don't think in the material world. They blindly follow simply anda pangu. They're blind and they're lame. Andaya tandaya rupaniya manas. Blind men leading other blind men. And people don't think what really constitutes happiness. What is the definition of happiness? And how can I achieve this in my present condition? What direction shall I go in? So here we're talking about pravritti and nivritti marg. So the path of pravritti or material sense gratification is simply a useless waste of time. You will simply be tossed about by the modes of material nature, upari ada. Kovida. Abrahma bhuvana loka. Wherever you go in the material world, it is the same business of sense gratification, and you will be repeatedly defeated in your attempts. Now, by practice of devotional service, one can maintain himself. It is a fact that if you take up devotional service, that you won't have anything to fear for your material life. Devotees are at the present moment in anxiety about the turn of the century and all the ominous signs in the sky, and making great preparation to protect themselves, this plan making to protect themselves. Something, self-sufficiency, is part of Srila Prabhupada's plan for introducing Varnashram Dharma. But over preoccupation with this idea that there is a great enemy on the horizon and Krishna cannot, I have to make my own arrangements to protect myself. And you can kind of justify that or rationalize that by saying that Krishna is the doer but he's working through me. Well, we have to actually see whether you are over-endeavoring. Atyahara prayasas cha prajalpo niyamagraha. Over-endeavoring to achieve something which practically Krishna says, he promises that yoga kshema vahamyaham ananyas chintayanto mam ye janapayupasate tesham nityopyokdanam yoga kshema vahamyaham. To those who are devoted to me and worship me with love, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. And we should never doubt this. Krishna says that saha yagya praja srishtva eshavos trishta kama duk. If you engage in my devotional service, then I will provide enough for you spiritually and materially, both. So pravritti marg is there. We have to maintain body and soul together. This verse, jivasya tattva jigyasa, one should endeavor to live a healthy life just to maintain body and soul together. That much endeavor we can make, but the actual life's desires should be directed towards nivritti or renunciation. Cutting false attachment. Real renunciation means to re- reject everything which cannot be connected to Krishna or which is not used directly in the service of Krishna. We have to be careful about nivritti, because there is a tendency to allow our renunciation to become polluted. What we want, what will satisfy the soul, is pure devotional service. Anya vilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. Free from fruitive work, free from jnana, desire for knowledge which is irrelevant to devotional service. Free from desire for mystic powers, etc. Mukti bhukti siddhikami shakali ashanta. Krishna bhakta nishkam atayav shanta. The devotee has no material desires and therefore he attains lasting peace. There's nothing agitating him this way or that way for his own sense gratification. He is moved by a desire to please Krishna, but there's no reaction there. There's no karmic reaction because he's offering the fruits of everything, anashrita karma phalam. He's offering the fruits of everything to the service of the Lord. So that is true renunciation. And this is the kind of bhakti which ahoituki, there's no motive, there's no hoituki, ahoituki. He's not doing business with God. He's not, of course, we all come with different desires, chatur vidha vajante mam, jana sukritino arjuna. There are four types of persons who approach Krishna. Those who are curious, those who are suffering, those who are wanting money, and those who are in search of knowledge. But gradually those desires will be purified. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara di. Tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether you have no desires or all material desires, still the path is devotional service. But your perfection, you will be heading towards your perfection when you realize or when you are able to let go of your material aspirations. When you simply depend upon Krishna, that Krishna, I am not begging you to give me this or that. I just depend on you. I know you know my heart and what I need, and I simply depend on you to supply me. I am your servant, and you can embrace me or you can trample me down. I'm prepared for anything because I'm not a conditional lover. I don't make conditions. I'm simply trying to be your servant. When we imbibe that mood, then we're making progress in real nivritti. And ultimately, this is what will satisfy the Atma as the self. The Atma is not the body. The Atma is not the mind. The Atma is the soul. There is a difference. If you want to attain happiness in relationship to the body and mind, you can do that. You can engage in devotional service also and become a professional pundit or a professional speaker or gather a group of disciples and get facilities from them, and you can enjoy sense gratification. But it is all temporary. It is all material and it is all temporary. It is asat achit nirananda. There's no bliss. It's sukanduk. Your attachment to the material body will force you. Sarva prakriti jai gunai. You will be forced by the modes of material nature to experience different situations in the material world. And some of them will be hellish conditions, and you will suffer tremendously. And some of them will be relatively less suffering, and you can consider that happiness. Whereas the spiritual happiness is characterized by being eternal. It is ever expanding. It is not based on some relative condition, but it is ever expanding happiness. It goes deeper and deeper, and it can be revived at any time. There's no loss or diminution in your effort to attain spiritual happiness. It remains always with you, any progress you make. It is superior. It is simply superior. It is unfortunate that more people are not able to discriminate or are not able to avail themselves of this opportunity to achieve transcendental happiness. It is very unfortunate. We try to introduce this to people. They can accept it or reject it. But we should know ourselves that the standard, the gold standard of happiness is that it is sat chit ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. That whatever exists here in the material world is simply a perverted reflection of the absolute realm. There are forms, there are relationships, there are different kinds of experiences. There is variety. There is prasadam. What else do you need? So we'll stop there. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Yeah. Okay.
What is the how can we know what is the desire which is not favorable for desire for gaining knowledge which is not favorable for Krishna consciousness? Is overly studying the Shastras also a desire for gaining such knowledge to gain, not for gaining but just for information or something like that?
We need guidance. We have many gurus, and we need guidance how much balance we should have in our devotional service. We need a balanced diet, and there are different ashrams. Now our guides should be able to ascertain or observe what is our tendency. There are different varnas also. So we may be temporarily in our impure state in different varnas and different ashramas. Of course, ultimately a Vaishnava is transcendental, but to the degree that we are free from material contamination, that much we are Vaishnava. Otherwise, Varnashram can help us. So, if someone shows a particular propensity after some time, it would be quite relevant that he be guided or directed to develop that aspect of his devotional personality. But we should always depend upon and take guidance from our superiors. First of all, we're living in an institution and we have to work together cooperatively, and there are needs of the institution as well as our own individual needs, and sometimes we have to sacrifice. And secondly, our own experience is not always quite sufficient. But ultimately, one can go on, I think Gopi Puranadana, that's all he does is study Srimad Bhagavatam all day long. I don't know if he does any other activity. Got himself a Russian wife now to cook his meals, and I don't know what else he does. And there are other devotees like that. Then there are others who are preachers and who study a certain amount so that they can acquire basic knowledge so that they can go out and meet the public and convince them about the superior path of Nivritti Marga and devotional service. So they're engaging knowledge in their service. Ultimately, the gopis were not interested in knowledge.
Because I'm asking because sometimes it appears that devotees artificially adore someone who has so much knowledge and who displays his knowledge, but sometimes the person doesn't show. After some time, you can see it doesn't show. Maybe the achar is acting if not according to his knowledge. So what I wanted to know is what is the, there's a need for achar and prachar, for showing the example as well as preaching, but is that, how can we know what is the limit?
These are the songs of the Vaishnava achar. Yes. Obviously, better if someone has no achar and has some material knowledge, then we may take some knowledge from him if it is relevant knowledge, but he is not our acharya.
I was not thinking of material knowledge, but knowledge of shastras.
Even knowledge of shastra, if it's correct, if he has read Bhagavad Gita and we haven't read it and he tells us something, if it's correct, if he gives an opinion, then that we may defer.
What means defer?
We may put it aside, not consider it so relevant, look for a better explanation. Ultimately, we want to hear from the nirmatsa, those who are pure in heart. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was illiterate, but he was the spiritual master of the world's greatest academician, the South Indian Brahmin who held the Bhagavad Gita upside down while reading it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are the real reader of Bhagavad Gita because you have imbibed the moon." All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have an engagement today, so we have to leave here about 11:30, I think. We're going to get there by 12. I don't know how to reach there by rickshaw. I think I have to go there by waksha. We can just walk.
Peak of the heat.
Or maybe you can go on the bicycle.
Huh?
Two can go on the bicycle and two can walk.
I can go on the bicycle.
Yes.
It's not that easy to get there by bicycle either, though. The road is sandy, so it's like riding along the beach. Have you ever ridden on the beach?
No, it's not good.
And after.
But the bicycle may be relatively a little easier. That back way, I wouldn't be confident of going that back way either.
Well,
we came in the dark. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. It's funny, something flew into my eyes and blinded me. Okay. I think Mahatma's leaving tomorrow morning.